Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again, for being with us. Coming back with us in time to the 70s, the Unusual Suspects crew here on Highly Suspect Reviews are pulling the most dangerous heist they ever have. A heist that goes back in time of the film American Hustle.
Are you trying to do 1970s? Because I'm getting like 1930s radio hosts.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Hey, come back to the amazing future!
And the thing is, Chris, I would say most of us were around when this happened.
Yeah.
Well, for the 30s, definitely, in some people's cases.
I'm talking about the 70s and Abscam. It's funny because I was around when Abscam happened, but I had no clue what it was about.
I vaguely knew what a scam was, and I could not for the life of me figure out what ab was.
I always had heard Abscam.
And I still have that problem, as anyone who looks at me can tell.
I'd always heard Abscam, but didn't really know what it was. Sure. And didn't really care that much.
Right.
Because why did it affect me? Because it was long ago. Yeah.
Things that happened in the past never affected us.
Most about it when Prince mentioned it briefly in a song.
You know,
Prince mentioned Abscam. Really?
He did. And the song "Any Christian." He mentions Abscam.
The History Channel had made it clear Hitler was much more important, as well as alien.
Yeah. Oh, you mean there were dinosaurs,
and then some knights fought each other, and then there were Nazis. That was History Channel in the 90s.
But let me take a second here to introduce you to our crew for this episode. I, of course, am Christopher Lawrence Cox. Joining me are the original gentleman pals, Martin Thomas, and David Bopal.
Hello.
But who's this? We have a new voice joining the reviews.
As we so often do.
What's that? The new Unusual Suspect coming to you live from, well, not live, but from inside the locker. JC DeLeon, hello!
What's up?
So glad to have you. Now, do you say
DeLeon or DeLeon?
DeLeon.
I fucked it up!
Fucking told you, man.
Shut up, Leon. Oh, wow. That was our first time I've broken him.
I prefer to pronounce it the American way of lions.
Yeah. But thank you guys for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, it was really great. He's the one who said, I kind of want to be on the reviews. I'm like, why didn't you just ask me? We want you on the reviews. You're awesome on Inside the Locker. And if you guys aren't listening to that, Inside the Locker is oneofus.net's sports show. Yes, we have a sports show where it's people like you and me and everybody who's like, yeah, I'm a nerd. I love movies. I'm embarrassed to admit I like sports.
I love Inside the Locker. It's actually my favorite show on this site.
You should be on it.
You asshole. Go fuck yourself. How's that for your favorite
I don't
show?
Watch enough sports to be on it. Like it's that show, kind of like The Beerus, where I go like, yeah, I know something about this. I could be on there.
Oh,
and
dude,
the more I listen, I go like, oh, wait, no, these guys are way above me.
Come on, man. I do a comic book podcast.
I know about comic books.
Well, if that's what you want to keep on telling yourself, okay.
But JC is also equally a film critic. He goes to see as much stuff as we ever did. You and me, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's there at every screening, even when I turn
He's not
around,
one of those Christmas critics.
No, I turn around and look at him and it's like, what the fuck are you doing here? Yeah. It's like, don't you know Katherine Heigl's in this movie?
Right. It's like, dude, this is identity theft. You can leave if you want to.
Yeah, it's one of those, I'm trying to be more vocal about, because I do watch a ton of movies. I don't think a lot of people know that, but yeah. I think people think I like movies, but no, I really kind of love movies.
So there you go. Time to start saying it out loud and proud.
Yeah.
Come out. I love movies, not just sports. And then people throw things at
you. Yeah, next is going to be rollerblading.
Yeah.
But well, we should talk about this movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're here for a review.
We're here for a movie.
Well, Bo, do you know something about this movie?
I do know a little bit something about this. And I did know a little something about Abscam, which is, you know, one of the trappings of this movie. But it is more than being anything kind of historical. And it says up front at the beginning of the movie, like, hey, some of this shit happened. Big deal. This movie is about individuals and precisely about kind of a schlub named Irving Rosenfeld, played by Christian Bale, who's a small-time con artist. You know, he's the kind of guy that he preys on people that, you know, they've lost, you know, a lot of anything that they have keeping them afloat, and so they're desperate and they're going to loan sharks and stuff like that, and he, you know, has kind of this little package deal that he gets people in. He runs a counterfeit art business on the side as well. And then he meets a girl named Sydney Prosser, who was played by Amy Adams, And
boy,
they,
is she.
Boy, is she. And Amy brings both of her atoms into play quite heavily in this. And they begin a very torrid affair, and she kind of steps his game up a bit. And she's like, hey, you know, you're a little bit of a schlemiel, and I see that, but I also see that, you know, you've got a lot of passion in you and a lot of humanity, and that is appealing to me. And so she kind of polishes him up, and you know, his scams get a little bit bigger. They're starting to bring in some money, and then they accidentally scam an FBI agent, and he takes them in, and they start featuring in his schemes.
Played by Bradley Cooper.
And he has, you know, he's kind of, you know, a little functionary in the FBI. He's not, you know, Elliot Ness or anything like that by any stretch of the imagination, but he dreams of being that. You know, he very much wants to, you know, be the man of the moment, be the hero. And so he kind of, you know, he strong arms at first, but then he very much, you know, lets these two con artists, you know, kind of tell him how to work a scam.
Well, he doesn't know how to.
He doesn't know how to. He's actually, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, there's a little bit of a gimme there where he's, you know, he's good at playing bad cop, good cop, but that's about all he's good at playing. You know, when it comes down to real scams, he's way too jerky, way too enthusiastic about the thing, if you will.
He's a spaz.
he's arrogant for what he's trying to do.
Exactly.
And for him, he's like, I don't know this game, but you two know this game, and
very
I got you on my hook.
Very
so
much.
So you're going to do what I want you to do. Except he's working with con artists.
Exactly.
And, which means it never works out
which
well.
Which you should be concerned
with.
You can't trust a con. You know, anyway, they manages to string this out, and then they start getting in over their head because he sees the opportunity to A, not only take down some corrupt politicians, but B, take down a rather nasty mobster who is the right hand to Meyer Lansky, if that name rings any bells.
Yeah, I don't even want to spoil for anybody who hadn't seen this yet.
Yes,
who it is, because the trailers have been kind of pulling back.
They've been pulling back from it.
Is,
yeah,
it's
just
one of those, like, yeah. Oh, cool. Moments.
Just stick with it. It's
a
very
cool moment.
Yeah, it's a nice reveal. You know, so they get in deep, mayhem ensues. And all the while, Irving is also having to deal with his crazy ex-wife, or his crazy wife, who he will not leave for Amy Adams because nominally they got an adopted son together and he wants to maintain that relationship.
Yeah, played by Jennifer
Lawrence, you know, knocking it out of the park here.
So he's kind of stuck in the middle.
He's really stuck in the middle of these, you know, opposing fortresses of these two women and, you know, the spazzy FBI guy, everybody trying to kind of make him they very much want to make him the ticket to the life they want to have.
Yeah, everybody's got their own goal here. And if there's anybody I think eventually this movie wants you to feel bad for, it's Christian Bale.
Oh, yeah.
Even though when the film starts, he's practically a sociopath.
Yeah.
I mean, like, not even when it starts. Three quarters of the film, he's a sociopath.
He's a bottom feeder, definitely.
Yeah,
you know, and he very easily rationalizes his preying on others. But I don't think I'd go so far as to call him unemotional or a sociopath.
But that's the problem I felt I had ultimately with this film, is that I thought through most of this movie, he is unsympathetic. He's barely an anti-hero. He's just the protagonist. There's not a lot to even like about the guy, aside from the fact that he has a certain degree of competency in what he does.
And that's the thing. Everybody else in this movie wants to be something else. Even Jeremy Renner, who plays a mayor politician who's one of the key components of their scam.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to kind of be something that they're not, except for, you know, Christian Bale's character, who kind of realizes to an extent what he is.
What?
And sinks to his own level, if you will.
Chris, I would actually argue with you that, for me, the problem with this film is not so much that he is, you know, he's what he is. He's unsympathetic. But I argue that the problem is that he's not even completely the protagonist. It's like we start out where the movie is his story. No, wait, hold on
wait,
a second.
It's
no,
not.
No, it's Amy Adams' story.
Yeah.
No. It's Bradley Cooper's story.
This movie's the major flaw in this movie is it can't figure out what the fuck it wants to be.
Yes.
It can't figure out whether, you know, it has the trappings of a heist film. I mean, you start watching this and you're like, oh, this is going to be kind of like Goodfellas. Oh, well, this is going to be kind of like Boogie Nights. And it just, it keeps on shifting on you and there's no anchor point whatsoever.
It literally changes narrators throughout the film.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird moment when it switches because, yeah, you don't know whose movie it is when it switches from Bale's character to Amy Adams's.
And between Bale and Amy Adams, it could be either one of their stories.
Yeah.
But when it switches to Bradley Cooper's point of view, you're like, okay, now it's three and I'm trying to keep a hold. And by the end, it's not Bradley Cooper's story at all.
Well, that's the thing is that, like, I feel like what happens in the end, especially what they're trying to do with a moral transference in the third act with the way the characters, everything we've been taught to believe by films we've seen before about this sort of situation. David O. Russell, who is certainly one of the greatest filmmakers we have today in America, I think
so. He's very impressive.
Certainly in the last few years.
Yeah.
And nobody is able to direct a woman playing crazy, especially if it's Jennifer Lawrence, like him.
Yeah.
it's funny because you look at Jennifer Lawrence, she's like, oh man, she's so hot, I do whatever she says. And then by the end, you're like, well, maybe not.
He's almost trying to deconstruct this type of film, the rise and fall of a gangster film. It's just that it doesn't quite work.
He taps the hammer too softly. I mean, because, you know, heist films and gangster films and things of that ilk tend to be very broad and bold, you can't really pussyfoot around with them. And unfortunately, this does. And also, I think Russell falls into his own, like, wheelhouse of, no, I just want to get into these characters and explain their feelings and motivations. And it's like, yeah, that's not really a heist flick. It's not really a gangster film.
No, you're right.
I think that could be part of the issue also is that the rise and fall of a gangster film is really interesting. But these characters overall aren't as interesting as gangsters.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's
these
true.
These characters are not as interesting as the scam or the plot.
They're all set up. They're all schlubs. I mean, they all present facades. They you know, with the exception of you know, Bale's character, who I think very much is what he is.
Yeah.
Everybody else is very much trying to be something that they're not.
Now here's something I'm going to introduce that may be controversial. You guys will argue with me. David O. Russell likes working with his cast. I mean, he's got a cast of superheroes here.
Yeah, Lily Tomlin loves him.
He's got Mystique and Batman and Rocket Raccoon and Lois Lane in the movie. And that's cool that a director likes working with the same people. But I would argue that For a short, schlubby Jewish guy, he didn't really need Christian Bale for this. He could have got an actor who was that without all the prosthetics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Bale puts on a lot of trappings here. I mean, he's got a horrible hairpiece. He's in shitty shape. He looks like me, which is just awful when you consider that this guy was playing Batman a couple of years ago. for the whole movie, he's like hunched over. His posture's horrible. But yeah, it's an amazing transformation, but yeah, was it necessary? I mean, you could have gotten Paul Giamatti to play this.
Right.
Even with his character, there are times where he's doing stuff that's really great, and I'm like, he's going to win another Oscar. Then the other times, I'm like, you're just doing a Robert De Niro impression.
He has some extremely great moments in this. Everybody in here puts in a marvelous performance. I'm still stunned. Like, every time I realize that Jennifer Lawrence is 23, I'm just gobsmacked.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, there's no fucking way you could be that talented young.
Yeah. She is like some character off the show Supernatural possessed the body.
No, she is like from the 1800s. She's been a vampire for a long time. She decided, you know what? I think I'm going to go into showbiz. What the hell?
I don't understand it, but there's, you know, something, especially after coming out of David R. Russell's last film, Silver Linings Playbook, where in that film, she was like, wow, one of the performances of the year.
Absolutely.
Right. Once again, playing a crazy chick. That chick in Silver Linings
and
Playbook,
I
would actually date compared to the girl.
Oh, yeah. In this movie, I mean, she plays a very unforgiving character. And, you know, she plays a character without a lot of screen time and just, you know, pulls it off so that, you know, she's magnetic every time she's on the screen. But the movie's really owned by Amy Adams, in my opinion. I mean, this is, I think, her taking it to the next level. She knocks it out of the park, and yes, side boob.
I was going to say, she owns it by her shirts that split down the middle. And
that's, like, you know, generally I'm not one to say, oh, you know, this movie should take a technical award, but man, for costuming, this thing nails it.
You know, I actually want to address that specifically, though. While the costuming is excellent, this is the first film I've ever seen that's nostalgic for the 70s in a way that goes, wow, it was tacky and ugly and I hate it. Like, every other film that's ever been nostalgic like this about the 70s is always
it waxes for it. Even though it's tacky,
it's like, come on, it was fun, it was cool, it was awesome. This film, even down to the filters they use on the camera, are trying to make it feel grimy and kind of like
as a kid
and gross.
As a kid growing up in the 70s, there was a lot of like ugly orange and avocado tones, and those are very present here.
Yes, they are.
Well, it was one of those things where, like, yes, that certainly was present and a lot more than it is now.
Yeah.
But it didn't take over everything. I mean, this harkens back to movies that I think about, like, Super Cops and Serpico when you watch those, and they have that layer of grime.
Yeah, yeah, it's very unwashed, you know, it's that, you know, kind of, and it, you know, the majority of the movie takes place in New Jersey, and, you know, it's like they took New Jersey and rubbed it on the lens.
Yeah, they did. Oh my God, that's the best way ever.
Actually, you know what, those four actors get so much of the praise because they are in so much of the movie. But I was really impressed by Jeremy Renner in this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Jeremy Renner has an odd role to play here in that he is the mayor of New Jersey, and he's the guy that the FBI team has decided, based on Bradley Cooper's decision, they're going after. And yes, he's a guy who's made some poor decisions, but
for a good reason.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. He's one of those guys, he's one of those politicians that, you know, nominally on paper, he's crooked, but he's doing it because it's the only way to game the system.
And he's a turning point in the plot, ultimately.
Absolutely.
And I feel like the biggest weakness of the film for me was the fact that, he's kind of, everybody's very broadly drawn here, but he's the most broadly drawn.
Sure.
And when it's that important that, like, the entire plot hinges on the other characters having a moral transition based on who he is as a person, it didn't really sell for me.
Yeah, no, there are some very weak hinges in this flick.
Yeah.
It's funny because to me, that wasn't the weakest hinge for me was that, Bradley Cooper started out as more of a three-dimensional character, especially when he's a narrator. And later he becomes like Yosemite Sam. He's just like, oh!
Well, he's Ray Liotta from the later parts of Goodfellas before he
Well, yeah, and that's one thing. There's kind of a feel through this whole movie, especially with Jennifer Lawrence's character and Bradley Cooper's character, that you're like, they're doing a shitload of coke in the bathroom, and for some reason David O. Russell is not showing this, and I don't know why, but they look coked out for, like, you know, half the, I mean, even Laura, like, look at her, she's, like, playing with her nose the whole fucking time, and I'm just like, maybe she's just using that as, and I've done that as an actor. It's just like, oh, I'm going to give this guy, well, yes. And also, you know, you want to give your, you give your character a tick that is never really explained. You know, it's just something that you can kind of anchor on. So, you know, maybe that was going on, but yeah, that's kind of what I ascribed Cooper's over the topness to.
I mean, outside, you know, the fact that I feel like there's this weird thing that's going on here between drawing very broad caricatures of these people and then eventually asking your audience to think of them as being more in depth and that being uncomfortable. I will salute Jennifer Lawrence for playing a character who is in many ways the main villain of this film, who just knocks it out of the fucking park once again.
It's weird. You say she's the main villain because prior to seeing this, right before, you know, no coincidence or some coincidence, but I was reading a diary about a woman who was bipolar and everything she was doing that just textbooks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so watching her whole time, I couldn't hate her. I was just like, she's ill and she can't help.
She's seriously ill.
Doing everything she's doing.
Yeah, what's great about her in this, for three quarters of the movie, I'm watching her and I'm like, why is she even in here? She doesn't bring anything to the table, but she has one moment in the third act that redeems the entire movie and as a whole. And it's where, not without spoiling, but where Christian Bale's character just essentially succumbs to what she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that totally redeems her for the rest of the movie.
And in many ways actually bounces out to give him some depth that he really needs at that point.
And I think, you know, they're you know, you could definitely make the argument that these characters are broad, but there are moments for all of them where that it's, you know, wow, this person is being very human. you're coming off the screen, I'm totally buying you. And then it just kind of gets lost. And like I said, I think it's the fact that, you know, Russell was making about three different movies here, and they don't stick together very well.
Wow, you said it all right there.
Yeah.
Ha-ha! Yeah. Review over!
One of those other movies I would have wanted to see is, I don't know if this actor is a spoiler or not, but the guy who plays Bradley Cooper's boss.
Yeah.
Louis C.K.
Yeah, Louis C.K. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know that was a spoiler or not, but...
funny performance between the two of them.
I want to see a movie with that relationship. Just
I love, like, Polito's wife, Jeremy Renner's character, is Elizabeth Rome from Angel and Law and Order. I'm just like completely unrecognizable.
As well as Michael Pena has a nice little role in here as well. Shea Whigham. There's a lot of familiar faces throughout this whole film. There's a lot that's memorable and impressive about this. I totally agree with you, though, once again, about Louis C.K. and Bradley Cooper's role in fact, like I coming out of this, I was like, I felt for me Jennifer Lawrence had the strongest performance, but the second strongest for me was Bradley Cooper, who really whereas in the plot, I didn't buy his transition. As an actor, I thought he knocked it out of the park of going from like I'm a serious FBI agent to like I'm a needy little fuck. And that really like shows that he's just a yuppie piece of shit. Like with his relationship with Louis C.K., he's just a guy trying to do his job, and here's this scumbag who's just stepping all over his shit.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was almost like this little miniature episode of Louis, the TV show. Really.
I kind of, you know, for me the standout, as I said, was Amy Adams, and I, you know. She, in a lot of ways, she's kind of the inciting incident for this whole movie.
Yeah.
But I think she does some of the best work she's ever done.
This is something that after I saw this movie, I was having dinner with some friends who saw it, and they posed the question, because I don't know how many Academy Award nominations she's gotten in the last few years, but do you guys think Amy Adams is quietly becoming the greatest actress of her
today? Let's not get carried away.
I wouldn't get carried away, but
she is one of those, like, she's that person who's going to show up and is going to do a solid performance.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's American Hustle or Night at the Museum.
Yeah.
She's going to be that person you remember, like, hey.
Well, just like, if Hollywood treated men and women the same way, she would be the new Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
Like, in a couple of years. But unfortunately, because she's going to turn 40 next year, we'll never hear from her again.
Well,
I won't go that far.
I know. I'm just making a criticism.
Things are actually changing specifically on that level right now, which is really nice.
It just seems like the last few years, you can pencil in supporting actress. She's going to be in there somewhere.
Yeah. No, she's – and, you know, this is definitely – I think this is going to be a breakout moment for her in a lot of ways.
Yeah, maybe so. Either way, there are good performances across the board. The biggest problem just lays with the fact that the script is a little bit of a mess, quite frankly, and I think that some poor decisions are made along the way, and I think that larger audiences aren't necessarily going to react to this in a positive way. It all has a feeling of grime. There's all feeling of, like, every time you're starting to feel good about or have fun, they bring you way down. There's never a chance to just have a good time watching this, you know, relatively long movie at 138 minutes.
If this was, you know, like 15, 20 minutes less, I'd say, hey, man, you know, totally go see it just to watch the performances, but I'd bow back a little because it is a bit of an investment.
I mean, I'm going to go straight into the final judgment here on this and say that I think it's a little bit of a miscalculation for David O. Russell that for me, admittedly, him being more of an indie art director and this being more of a high profile film for him is all too rare. His career has been more successful than not for me, even in his weirdest moments, like I Heart Huckabees, which I think is kind of a minor masterpiece.
No, I do too.
But it's still a film that you're going to want to see this year just for the performances, if nothing else. There's some really interesting stuff along the way. There's some nice cameos that appear here and very, like, oh, cool sort of moments in it. And it's got a great soundtrack. I mean, I read an article.
They really utilized the music well.
With David O. Russell where he was like, oh, my God. I sent Jeff Lynn from ELO an email like saying, like, hey, I'd really love for you to work on my film. And he answered, and I got new ELO songs for my film.
So it was brand new?
It was brand new.
Okay, because I was like, there's an ELO song that I've never heard before.
There's more than one. Like, apparently the others are instrumentals by Jeff Lynne.
Right on.
Like, wow, that's pretty cool as a giant, like,
six. Making this the greatest cinematic music triumph since Xanadu.
Hey, man.
Yeah, no, talk some shit about Xanadu.
Oh, you with me on
that? Oh, I'm with you on that,
Oh, boy.
My rating is, I'm going to give it 2.5 baseball bats to the back of the head.
I like
the arbitrary review.
Like, yes. Like to me, like when I saw the trailer, it made me think of the Butthole Surfers.
Interesting.
In as much as, remember that period when the Butthole Surfers heard Beck and they went like, ooh, we want to do that. And when I saw this trailer, it was like David O. Russell saw Argo and went, ooh, I want to do that. Okay. And it's not Argo. Argo was tight. I mean, and as much as it may have embellished a real, thing that happened, he went a little bit too much. It's a little sloppy, as we've said. It kind of goes in too many places. And when it finally decides to be what it wants to be, you've been there for 2 hours already, and it feels like kind of like a rushed decision. Like, we have all this footage, and now I know how to end this thing. And so it doesn't come together. Like, it's one of those movies that has all the parts of a great movie and somehow manages to not be that great movie. It's a good movie. Anybody who sees it will like it. And if somebody asks them, they're like, yeah, it's good, I guess. But it won't be that movie that you go like, oh, I want to watch this over and over again, just because of all the things we said. I will give it 3 out of 5 leisure suits.
What about you, JC?
The tonal switches are a little much for me at times, and the fact that the characters aren't completely interesting. They're interesting at times, but again, the tonal switches. But yeah, like Martin, it's good, not great. It's got all the pieces. It just doesn't quite stick its landing. I would say 2.5 out of 5 Goodfellas.
So, sometimes a movie is greater than the sum of its parts, and sometimes it's just a lot of parts. And that's what this thing is.
Parts is parts.
And a lot of those parts are really good parts. And they're certainly worth a look. I think this movie misses a lot of chances, and that unfortunately takes it out of the running for being one of the best movies of this year. But it's still a very interesting, fun movie in a lot of ways. I definitely think it's worth a look-see. I'm gonna say, I give it 3 side boobs.
I can't believe one of us didn't claim the side boobs. Oh my God! I'm almost
there's less 3 of them.
Yeah, exactly. In a way, that's 6 boobs.
That's a lot of boobs. Especially considering the first time I saw Amy Adams, I was like, I'm sorry. I know we've been going out for 3 years, but we need to break up.
Yeah, the first time you see her, she's wearing a macrame bathing suit, and oh my God!
Literally, if you're a fan of her, then it wouldn't matter if this is the worst movie ever made.
Yeah, you'll still have some fun.
You still need to see it.